Hi guys, I'm Richard from Veg Grab Podcast, and this is episode 74, titled Preserving Herbs, and it's the 25th July 2016. Coming up today, I'm going to discuss a bit on a few updates on the plots, and then I'm going to discuss a few methods of preserving herbs in the first of a series of episodes about preserving our harvests. We'll have more on that later, and carry on from there. After me, it's been a hell of a week for me with work. As some of you may know, my day job is a fridge engineer. It means I'm very busy in the summer when it gets hot. Ben, I'd much rather be in the garden, to be honest. But firstly, let's start with the allotment. Tried to get there during the week, but all I managed to do was just drop off some wood chip and put a net over the brassicas. But yesterday being Sunday, I managed a few hours down there. The brassica cage is holding up, but it's a little worse for wear. Those clips for making the frame for the bamboo, I don't think they're really good. They're rubbish, in my opinion. Talking of the brassicas, I've noticed that some of the broccoli planted last week has gone to flower, which is news to me, so I'll be digging those ones up soon and monitor the rest. But as for the netting frame, I'm going to be building something at home, a frame at home to take down and redo that as best as I can, and it should be a bit more efficient. I then spent about 2 hours weeding the beds yesterday. Again, seems to be a running theme at the moment. The damn weeds seem to grow as soon as my back is turned, and it seems to mostly be bindweed and couch grass. But I did manage to give the root bed a really good weeding while I was at it, and I've harvested some carrots just to see how they were growing. And while they were a little small, they were a reasonable, useful size. But my calculations, they've been in about 10 weeks, so a few more weeks, and they should be a lot better size. I also put in some beetroot plants that I had in the potting shed. This is towards the front of the bed where it's a bit more shady. It might be a bit too late for them, but we shall see how they get on. Report on that later on in the future. I then harvested one of the potato bags of Home Guard potatoes, of which there was only a pound of potatoes in, so a bit disappointed really, but there's enough for us at home. But we the potatoes that came out were very clean and really healthy looking. Just not many, same as what I got out of the black pot, so yeah, it might be because of the manure, but it might be this particular variety. I've got a few more. I'm going to leave those and move on to another variety next. I've also built another fruit bed, just a frame. This now just needs some cardboard in the bottom and then filled with horse manure, ready for a fruit plant to go in later in the year. I could probably do it now, but I'd just like to leave it for a bit longer and see how it goes. I also hoed under the gooseberry bush that I cleared last week. The ground here is just really, really hard. It's hard clay, and it doesn't make hoeing very easy at all. But I guess that's the joy of a clay soil and this summer heat. At home, I wish I had a lot to say, but I've not really been there that much to really do anything. The greenhouse has continued to have overgrown tomato plants everywhere. I've had a go at tying them back, but it's still a mess. However, I have harvested the first of the tomatoes, which are really tasty, I have to admit. All the plants that were in the ground are actually growing nicely, and the pumpkins have even started flowering now. So again, it's a little late, but better late than never. We're keeping an eye on it, and hopefully we'll get pumpkins and cucumbers and chilies and things. I've lost the cabbage seedlings that were grown in a cold frame. I think they've been eaten by slugs, just like the watercress I spoke about last week. It seems like this cold frame is just susceptible to slugs, whereas the frame that is just open. Like, place things for their final hard enough. When they're there, nothing seems to bother them. So, yeah, interesting. Okay, so onto the main topic today, preserving herbs. I wanted to talk about this today as I'm preserving a lot of herbs at the moment as the supply is there to be used and I want to make the most of my herbs. Now, I should say that not all methods work for every herb. Some are delicate that one method may not work for that particular herb. But then there are other methods that will work for that herb. Unfortunately, in this show today, I will not be able to go through every herb, but this is more of a general overview. But in the future, I'll probably make a post or even a podcast with herbs and what methods work, or I find work anyway. But keep an eye out or an ear out for that. Now, what has to be one of the simplest methods is air drying. That is simply where you hang a bunch of herbs to dry. I've done this with mint, rosemary and sage, to name a few. And I found that it works best in the dark, as light seems to make the herb go brown. Now, to do this method, simply, you just cut a few sprigs, tie them together and hang them somewhere warm and dark and well ventilated until dry and crumbly, usually about 2 weeks. Then just store the leaves or the herbs or whatever you're using in jars somewhere dark and ready to use. Variations of this, you can use a dehydrator which can take the drying time down to a few hours, but I find it needs a careful monitoring so as not to ruin the herb. I also found this way tended to turn the herbs brown quite easily. It's worth experimenting, of course, and try and find out. Another way of doing this is making a solar drying stand, which I think the only best way I can describe this would be a very, very small table frame with the top replaced with wire mesh. The herbs would be placed and spread out on top of the mesh, and the sun allows the air and placed in the sun, allowing the air to get around the herb as well, and the sun warms it up. I've read this a lot in magazines and things, and it seems like a very popular way to dry herbs. But I think it does take some experimenting to get right. Another method to store herbs is to freeze them. Now, you can simply just pick a herb, give them a wash and a pat dry, and then place them in the freezer. Don't forget to label them, of course. Sounds simple enough, but I found this way some herbs discolour in the freezing process. So I found some other ways of doing this. Where was I? Got a bit lost there. Let's go back to here. Sounds simple enough, but I found this way some herbs discolour in the freezing process. So I found some other extremely good ways of freezing herbs. One way is to chop up the herbs and place them in ice cube trays. Top the trays up with either water or oil and freeze them. Then once they're frozen, pop them out into the out of the trays and into a container. So once they're frozen, pop them out of the trays and into a bag or another container or some description, back into the freezer. This way, and then whenever I want to use a herb, I just take one cube out, either leave it to defrost or throw it straight into the dish as a frozen cube, especially when I'm doing stews or something and just want to. Yeah, as I'm cooking it, it's very simple and effective to use in the kitchen this way. Now I said top up with oil or water, and again that's down to experimenting with which herbs work best with oil or water, or what you use them for as well. Sometimes I will actually take one herb and do it with one tray of oil and one tray of water. For the oil, I generally use olive oil, but any oil will do. The oil may not freeze solid, but it'll freeze enough. A good one to do this with is basil, but in the form of pesto. Basil doesn't generally freeze well in full leaf or even chopped up. Be pureed with olive oil and pine nuts, it makes a pesto that frozen in batches really well. Instead of oil, another mode would be to use butter and make a herb butter. For example, a tablespoon of butter at room temperature mixed with minced a clove of minced garlic and a teaspoon of chopped parsley makes garlic butter that can be used to make garlic bread, for example. Obviously, to make larger batches, just use more ingredients and place them on a greaseproof paper and roll into a sausage shape. Place this in the freezer for about half an hour, then just make several cuts halfway through the sausage, about 1 centimetre intervals along the length of this, and then place back into the freezer. Then when I want to use it, I can just snap a piece off and it's good to use. Another good one to use for this is to make a mint butter. Then use this mint butter over some boiled new potatoes. Let the butter melt through the potatoes. Delicious. Well, so far, we have dried herbs and frozen herbs. Well, how about storing herbs in oil? This is one I do particularly with rosemary. I take a sprig of rosemary and put it in the bottle and then fill the bottle with oil. The oil takes on the flavour of rosemary quite nicely and stores the herb well. I use this rosemary as an oil brush when cooking steaks by simply brushing over steak with this rosemary sprig, and it gently imparts the flavour into the steak. With this method, I see no reason why you can just use several sprigs in a bottle and simply throw the sprig away after use. In the same way as oil, I've done the same with vinegar and made mint vinegars. The prime example for this would be a mint sauce for roast lamb, simply by adding mint to vinegar with a bit of sugar, leaving it to steep, and then just pour it over the roast lamb. So what ways do you have to preserve herbs? Let me know in the comments. On this episode, I've actually started something new. I've not only recorded the podcast, but I've copied the script to the blog post, so you can listen or read this. And whichever way you've absorbed this article, I hope you've enjoyed it. As always, please do visit my website, Veg Grow Podcast, and let me know what you think. And this is it for this week on the podcast. I'm winding up now, and I will speak to you again next week.